Welcome to another edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. Joined by Jeff Fiegels.
Hi, John.
I am John Schmelk. And the number for you to get in touch, give us a call, and have a chat is 201-939-4513. Get on board. A lot of stuff going on in the National Football League. One piece of news, I guess we'll get to this first, as, you know, it's not really a whole lot goes on between the end of the Super Bowl and free agency beginning. Just simply not a lot of moves going on besides some of the coaching stuff. A.J. McCarron won his grievance against the Cincinnati Bengals, which means...
When he tried to get traded. And
yeah, it's a real complicated thing. Okay. Bottom line is that he is now a free agent this year. So it's another quarterback on the market that joins Case Keenum, that joins, theoretically, Drew Brees. We all know that's not going to happen. Is probably going to join Tyrod Taylor if he gets let go by the Bills. And... Kirk Cousins, of course,
yeah.
The big fish in the pond. So it's another option out there for teams looking for a quarterback. To me, Jeff, I have not seen nearly enough from A.J. McCarron to hand him a starting job in this league. If you want to bring him in, have him compete or be a placeholder as a veteran, if you want to draft somebody in the first round, great. But I've heard people talking about, well, maybe the Browns sign A.J. McCarron and then they don't draft a quarterback. Well, let me tell you. If the Browns pass on a quarterback because they signed A.J. McCarron, they deserve to be bad for another 10 years because that doesn't make a lick of sense.
No, there's no way that that's going to happen.
Now, you can sign A.J. McCarron and then draft someone too. That's fine.
Yeah, but, I mean, what have you known about A.J. McCarron? I mean, has he been a starter in the league for more than 3 or 4 years straight? No. I mean, it's, come on.
So, years? Okay,
yeah. Well,
games.
He won his grievance. Good job. That's fine. You know, whatever it is. But, you know, he's still a backup quarterback.
Here's A.J. McCarron, Jeff.
Okay,
A.J. McCarron has been in the league for 4 seasons, okay?
4 seasons.
Yes. Do you know how many games he started in four seasons?
I'm going to say 4.
He started 3.
Okay, close
and
to it.
And all of those games came in 2015. In the last 2 years, he has thrown a total of 14 passes and completed 7 of them. All right? So the game that gets the most attention is in 2015. This is when Andy Dalton, I believe, tore his ACL, if memory serves me correctly. He had to play in a playoff game that year. And he had a decent game.
They won.
No, they did not lose.
They lost.
The Bengals still have not won that
playoff game. That's right, exactly. Yeah.
That's correct. And I'll bring up his game log right here for 2015. In that playoff game, he was 23 of 41, 56%. This is against the Steelers, who did not have a great defense that year. 212 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 pick. Quarterback rating of 68.3.
There you go. That's about what he is.
All right. And then that year, in the regular season, he started 4 games, also because of Dalton's injury. He had a few good ones in there. His first game was against Pittsburgh. This was his best game, 22 of 32, 280 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 picks. That was a quarterback rating of 90.6. Against the Niners the following week, 15 of 21, 192 yards. Again, not asking him to do a lot in that game. Then against Denver, he was 22 of 35 for 200 yards and 1 touchdown. And then finally against Baltimore, 17 of 27 for 160 yards and 2 touchdowns. So did he have a couple nice moments that year? Sure. He was okay. But
nothing to command $15 million a year and be the starting quarterback somewhere.
Not to me. Not enough to hand a quarterback job to no matter how much you're paying him.
Yeah. I mean.
That's all I'm saying.
Listen, I think Cleveland would just be they would do themselves a favor and just re-sign him as a backup behind the other guys.
Well, I don't think
as a veteran.
Well, I don't think he's going back to Cincinnati. I think he's probably a little sour over that A.J. McCarron.
Yeah.
He's going to want a place to play. Now,
but
I could see the Browns signing him and then drafting a quarterback as well. So maybe if
that's what I meant. The Browns. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's say they really like Josh Allen, but they don't think Josh Allen is ready to play in his first year. Then you know what? Go sign A.J. McCarron.
Yeah, and you got Kaiser there, too.
And he could be your placeholder. That's cool. I get it. But and frankly, I feel the same way about Case Keenum. I would not hand him a starting job in the league either off of 1 year with the Vikings based off his body of work. And then I have other people, by the way. I'll throw this out there, too, Jeff.
But I think that Case Keenum is going to get a starting job.
I agree, and I think he has a much better track record than McCarron because of the year with the Vikings. I agree with that. I would at least get why a team would roll the dice on Case Keenum, though I think you have to watch the cost there. I don't understand, and I understand how big the Super Bowl is and how well he played in his last couple games. I get all that. I've heard so many people come out and say, you know, the Vikings should go and trade a first-round pick so Nick Foles can be their starting quarterback. Are you out of your mind? How many times have we seen, Jeff, a player get overrated based on what he did in the Super Bowl? But even the Super Bowl specifically, go back. Remember those Cowboys teams? How much money did Larry Brown get in free agency and then he, you know, busted out? James Washington, another guy. I mean, you go down the list. You cannot overrate a guy. And look, Nick Foles played wonderfully against the Vikings and the Patriots. He was phenomenal, and he was okay against the Falcons. Why do those two or three games matter than the four or five games he played in the regular season when he was terrible?
Or the years before when he was – I mean, yeah, he had 1 year and went to the Pro Bowl. Remember the good year. But after that, he did nothing.
Right?
In fact, he was borderline going to retire.
He lost his job.
Exactly. So, you know, so you're going to do – And but you know what? People do stupid things in this business. They really do, right? I mean, that's not an understatement. That happens. You're like, who did they just give this much money to?
And again, Jeff, if you want to bring in Nick Foles to be a placeholder guy, someone that's a bridge to a younger quarterback, that's fine.
But that's
you do not trade an asset for Nick Foles because you say, I want to win a Super Bowl. Let's go get Nick Foles. That doesn't make any sense.
But I think if you are the Eagles, I think that what you did by getting Nick Foles played into perfectly for you because he was a backup, an insurance policy, and they cashed in on it big time.
Correct. And look, a guy can be good for a couple games.
But you don't know if Carson Wentz is going to be ready to play in the regular season.
And I agree
with you,
too.
So what are you going to do? You're going to trade Nick Foles to – who's the backup behind Nick Foles? Do we even know
Nate
his name?
Sudfeld.
Okay, there you go.
He's not very good. But you're right. If I'm the Eagles, I need Nick Foles next year.
There's no discussion here.
Because who knows when Carson Wentz is going to be ready. If he is a nine-month recovery from that ACL – he's pushing being back for the first game of the regular season.
Right.
And frankly, ACLs can take 10 to 12 months a lot of the time.
Everybody's different.
So
everybody's
he might not
different.
Be back till November. He might be a pup candidate, in which case you're going to need Nick Foles. And the reason people, I think, have talked about it is that the Eagles are in a little cap trouble. They're over the cap right now.
Okay.
And I think he is a $6 to $9 million cap hit, Nick Foles, as a backup quarterback. I think it's six. As a backup quarterback, that's high. So people thought, oh, you can clear some cap space by moving Nick Foles. But I'm with you. If I'm a team, I wouldn't commit to him. But if I'm the Eagles, frankly, I'd be worried about trading him.
Or they could clear some cap space by just redoing his deal. You know, there's ways to find money. You know that. But I just don't think I just don't think that the Eagles could do that with Nick Foles because they would be putting themselves in severe danger.
Okay. So we're through that. I want to go through Mike Mayock. He released every year. He does this before the combine, after the combine, and then I think right before the draft, right after the pro days and stuff. And
really?
He updates his list, his top five prospects at each position.
And let me ask you this.
Yes.
What credence do you put in Mike Mayock? Like, where is he in your draft guys?
Let me put it this way. I think he does a ton of work on it, and I will respect anybody that I know looks at a lot of tape on these guys.
Okay.
No one's ever going to be right 100% of the time.
Of course.
You're going to
have. But
there's
credence in it. You look at him and say, okay, I think that he gets it.
He lives this stuff.
Yeah.
He lives it. He does. Yeah. He knows a lot about these guys. So I do put a lot of credence into his opinion. And frankly, a lot of what we see here, as I almost knocked my headphones off, is what we've seen from other guys that we've seen so far this year. So real quick, let's go through some of the more important positions that might be related to the Giants. And let's start at quarterback,
Jeff.
Well,
we know the five that are going to be there.
And the top, he has six guys in his top five.
Oh,
he has two guys tied
for
fifth, which I'm not surprised by. And we'll go down the list. I guess we'll start at the bottom and go to the top. The two guys tied for fifth, Lamar Jackson out of Louisville, Mason Rudolph out of Oklahoma State. Both guys come with different challenges. Mason Rudolph from that spread system. He is all, you know, the size and, you know, arm strength to be an NFL quarterback. Lamar Jackson always ran a lot. Maybe not the most accurate quarterback in the world, but boy, his production is off the charts, and he doesn't have the body that you would expect of most quarterbacks. So those are two guys that I think are a bit of a projection, but I think both guys will be day two picks. I think Jackson and Rudolph will both be round two or round three selections, in my opinion.
Okay. Yep.
Then the top four guys, no one's surprised who they are. The order, though, maybe might surprise you a little bit. Number one, for him, and it's the same guy that I have at number 1-2, is Sam Darnold out of USC. He has Josh Allen at number 2 out of Wyoming. Sam Rosen, who's the play-by-play guy for the Rangers and does a good job in NFL football as well. Josh Rosen out of UCLA is number 3, and Baker Mayfield out of Oklahoma he has at number 4. So that really shouldn't surprise you that much. Usually people have Darnold and Rosen right next to each other. Maybe having Allen in between is a little bit of a change, but that's his list.
Yeah, I mean, you could look at – exactly. I think this Josh could be number 2. I mean, these guys can, you know, jockey back and forth. But you have Sam Darnold. I don't really particularly have it. I mean, to me, I think that Josh Rosen, in my opinion, would be number 1.
Okay.
That's just just because I think he's ready to play.
I think that's a fair evaluation. You know, if that's important, I think he would be your number
one. If that is the case and that's the Cleveland Browns way of thinking, then we have to look at the Giants. You look at who would be next, and you'll be your guy, Sam Darnold.
Do you think all four of those top guys go in the top 10? Which would probably require somebody trade up into the top 10 to get him.
It may be Arizona.
That was my thought, too.
Yeah. Somewhere around in there.
We're on the same page. Running back, no one's surprised. Saquon Barkley is number one running back. It's everybody's number one running back, and he should be. He's an excellent player. The next four guys, I think, are a little interesting because these are kind of the group of guys that maybe the Giants can think about with their second-round pick.
Yeah.
And then the guys after this group, maybe you get into the third round. Darius Geis is the second guy out of LSU, a big, powerful, more of a, you know, carry the load type of power
like
back.
Like a Leonard Fournette kind of guy.
Yeah, not quite that big, but he's that type of back, yes. Ronald Jones out of USC, more of a slasher type. People wonder if he can carry the load a little bit, but
I don't know much about him being from USC. You know, we don't get to watch a lot of those.
I'll tell you what, I saw him a lot when I was watching Darnold tape.
Yeah.
Yeah, he can make people miss.
He can catch the ball.
Yeah. They didn't ask him to do it a lot there, but he can.
Yeah.
He's not a guy that's going to gain extra yards, you know, pushing a pile or anything like that. But you get him in space, he has that jump cut thing going.
Okay.
He's elusive. I think he'll be a good back. But he's not something that – he's a guy that you have to split time with, though. He's not a 20-25 carry guy.
Okay.
He's more of a
– spot guy.
17-20 touch guy. So maybe 15 carries, 4 catches, you know, 5 catches, things like that. Number 4, Sony Michel out of Georgia, and his teammate then at number 5,
Chubb.
Nick Chubb out of Georgia. And those two very different backs. Nick Chubb is more like Geis, the powerful, push the pile, make the most out of what you have type of thing. And Michel is more of that kind of, you know, elusive third down
slasher
back. But he does have the size, by the way, just saying, to make plays.
I think all these guys have the size.
Well.
I think all these guys have the size. None of these guys are like puny, you know?
No, they're not. Let's go to the wide receivers. It's just a couple guys left off that list. Rashad Penny out of San Diego State. Kerryon Johnson out of Auburn. And there's one more guy that you usually see on these lists. Royce Freeman out of Oregon is also a guy that's not in the top 5 there for running back. So wide receivers next. I got to admit, I have not looked at wide receivers much yet, so I don't have a ton of opinion on these guys. Calvin Ridley, number one. He is, no doubt about it, a number one guy. I'm not sure if he's a top 10 pick, but I think he'll definitely be off the board in the top 15.
He's definitely in the mid-round up.
Very good route runner. Fundamentally sound. Good player. And then the rest of these guys, again, I haven't watched them a ton. Christian Kirk out of Texas A&M. Cortland Sutton out of SMU. James Washington at Oklahoma State, who I saw at the Senior Bowl, who's a little bit raw, you know, much like Mason Rudolph comes from that spread system, doesn't really run a lot of the route tree, but he's very athletic. This is a bit of a cop-out by Mayock. He's got three guys tied for fifth. Couldn't make a decision.
He just wants to put him in there.
Dante Pettis, DJ Moore, who's an undersized receiver for Maryland, but a very good player. And then Anthony Miller out of Memphis. Tight end, we'll skip. The Giants drafted Evan Ingram. I'm not going to waste your time on it. Because I'm sure you want me to get to the offensive lineman.
Yeah.
Here we go. Tackles first. And I've seen a lot of volatility here, folks, rank their top three tackles in this draft.
Yeah, I was going to say the top three.
And I've seen them in a lot of different orders. Yeah. So this is Mayock's order. And again, I've not looked at these guys a ton yet. Mike McGlinchey, the big tackle out of Notre Dame, who played right tackle and then played left tackle as a senior. Zeus Orlando Brown out of Oklahoma, who's just a mammoth of a man. Connor Williams out of Texas, who had a knee injury this year, but a lot of people think he might have the highest upside. Then he has Tyrell Crosby out of Oregon. We saw him at the Senior Bowl at 4, and then tied at 5, Martinez Rankin and Colton Miller. So I think the order for that tackle spot is interesting. Again, I don't think any of these guys are worthy of a top 10 pick. I think they're all off the board probably between 10 and 25 would be my bet.
I think those top three guys will be close in as far as – I think the guy from Notre Dame will go first.
Okay.
And I think the other – we've talked about this and last time we were talking about the centers and, I mean, the tackles. And I think the rest of the guys are going to be – they'll be run guys. They'll be like they'll all go within, like, the next three or four picks in a row.
Well, the worry – yeah, exactly. There'll be a run on that position.
Correct. Exactly.
The worry for a guy like Williams – Zeus his technique. You know, he's just so big and powerful, but, you know, feet, hands, that sort of thing. And where have Giants fans heard about that before? Just saying. The interior offensive lineman, also interesting, very relevant to Giant fans, no shock. Quentin Nelson, number one. The next group, though, is interesting because I think these are another four guys, Jeff, that'll probably go within 10 or 12 picks of each other, and there's going to be a little mini run there at the end of the first round. And it's these four guys, give everybody, that Giant fans should hope one of these four is sitting there when the Giants pick in the second round.
It won't be Quentin Nelson.
I'm not sure if it – no, obviously I'm not – he's not even in the conversation. I'm not sure one of these four guys will be. So here are the four guys in the order that Mayock has him in. Isaiah Wynn out of Georgia, two. He was great at the Senior Bowl, converted left tackle, going to play guard in the pros. Excellent player. James Daniels, who's kind of an undersized zone blocking center from Iowa. They also think he can play guard. He is him at three. Will Hernandez, the mammoth guard out of UTEP, who we saw at the Senior Bowl just maul the hell out of everybody that went up against him. This guy, I'm telling you, he is a hog molly.
Yeah.
Oh, man, he's awesome to watch. And then Billy Price, center guard out of Ohio State, real smart guy. That's also an excellent player. I know a lot of people think he might be the second best interior offensive lineman in the draft class. So those are four very talented guys that I think, frankly, all could be first-round picks. So that's five potential interior offensive linemen in the first round, which would be a lot.
I think that if one of these guys drop to the second round, or two, Giants are sitting there at number two.
Of course, depends what you do
with the trade
with
up,
free agency,
and trade
in your first pick. But if you stay put and you're still in need of a guard at that point,
good group.
Bada bing, bada boom.
I'd like to see him get that guy.
Who, Will Hernandez?
Yeah. Big, big boy.
Oh, he's a monster. All right, defense real quickly, folks. And there's a lot of disagreement on the interior defensive lineman, too, which is interesting. Vita Vea from Washington. Vita Vea, that's correct. I'm not flubbing that. Daron Payne out of Alabama. Maurice Hurst out of Michigan. Vea's kind of the bigger guy. He can penetrate a little bit, but he's like 330 or something like that. He's a monster. And then Payne and Hurst are kind of those penetrating, smaller, under-tackle types. Taven Bryan out of Florida. Harrison Phillips out of Stanford. Edge rushers, Bradley Chubb, no surprise, top of the list. Marcus Davenport, he's the real long kid that was at the Senior Bowl. That's a little raw. Arden Key out of LSU had a disappointing senior year. Same for Harold, or final year at LSU. I think he's a junior. Harold Landry also had a disappointing. That was a senior year at Boston College. He decided not to go to the combine. Then Sam Hubbard out of Ohio State. Linebacker, no surprise. Though, the top two guys are isn't a surprise. The order might be. Mayock has Tremaine Edmonds ahead of Roquan Smith, which I think we're going to see more of as we get closer to the draft, but I think most people have Smith still as their top linebacker in the draft.
I think the Giants got to look at a group of these guys with this.
And then
they really need to look for a linebacker.
Leighton Vander Esch out of Boise State, who I have not done a lot of work on, but people like. Rashawn Evans is kind of a B.J. Goodson type, so I'm not sure they'd be in the market for someone like that. And then Uchenna Nwosu, who actually, with the Giants going to a 3-4, could fit very well. His best thing, and I talked to him at the Senior Bowl, I did about 3 minutes with him, wants to be, or rather thinks, that his best position is a 3-4 stand-up pass rusher. Well, okay. What are the Giants going to do this year?
Yeah, there you go.
They're going to do that. So I think he's a guy that could be an option on day two of the draft for the Giants. Cornerback class, not great in my opinion. Denzel Ward and Mike Hughes, two of the top three, undersized guys but good cover guys. Josh Jackson of Iowa, bigger guy. And then Isaiah Oliver and Jair Alexander, two guys I haven't done much work on yet. Then at safety, Minkah Fitzpatrick, we've talked about it. He's going to be a top guy, probably top five, top six pick. Derwin James, who kind of had a disappointing year this year from Florida State. Mm-hmm. Ronnie Harrison out of Alabama. And then Jesse Bates and Justin Reed out of Stanford. So there's Mike Mayock's top five at all the premium positions here in the NFL draft. No surprises there.
Nothing. I mean, just maybe surprising in some of the order that they are in, but not shockingly surprising.
And that's why I like to look at a lot of these different people and a lot of these guys, because you can find a consensus. And if there's one outlier, you worry about the outlier, maybe then you put a little red flag next to it. But you like to try to find consensus. The more eyes you have on something, the better.
Yeah, and I think that most of these guys that are rating all this, all these certain players and stuff, they're all within the realm here.
Yes.
There's a couple guys maybe that you might have. Mayock might have a guy here and the other guy doesn't. They're very close.
And, of course, the combine's going to change things. Pro day's going to change things, all that stuff.
Oh,
so these things will shift. But
And also, you know, from the Giants' perspective, John, this is all going to matter when we get into free agency.
Right.
You know, which position groups are we looking at these?
And this is off of college tape. So this is the most important thing that you're going to have. And then you're going to make tweaks along the way. All right, let's do phone calls. We got a full bank of calls, 40 minutes.
Boom,
me,
boom, boom, boom.
You, Feagles, phones, chat.
We're here.
Giants, football, now. Marcus in Philly.
Marcus.
He will lead us off. Marcus has come out of his basement. It's safe to go outside, Marcus. The crowds have left the streets, and you can wander freely.
Well, I wish I could say that, but I'm still being attacked. So it's going to be a while before I'm able to do that.
But I'm
actually calling because I actually have a comment and a question.
Yes, sir.
And my question is more or less based off – well, my comment, excuse me, based off of my question. My question is, if we were to trade for a player, let's say this player is hypothetically making $15 million a year. If we traded for that player, do we take that $15 million onto our cap, or is that something that can maybe be restructured to fit our cap?
The way it works, Marcus, is that the team that trades the player has to pay the remaining signing bonus that's been prorated on the contract. So let's say a player makes $15 million. $10 million of that is prorated signing bonus. $5 million of that is base salary. The team trading the player has to pay the $10 million, and that stays on their cap because they gave that player the signing bonus. The $5 million in base salary would be taken on by the team that's receiving the player.
And, again, the signing bonus has already been paid out. That's why the $10 million stays with the team that just traded their player.
The cash has been handed over, but for cap purposes,
it
stays with the team.
Yeah.
Absolutely
and
correct.
And the salary goes with it.
Yes.
Awesome. Now, this is my hypothetical on fixing the offensive line.
Sounded good.
Okay.
Yep.
And this is how, if I, you know, playing GM, this is how I'll fix the offensive line. First thing I would do is in free agency, I would go after Norwell from the Panthers.
Okay.
And I would go after him and put him at left guard. Okay. What I would do is, of course, you need a trading partner, but I would move back out of second, maybe talk to either the Jets or Broncos at 5 or 6 and see if we can move back. With that pick, and I'm assuming we will probably pick up maybe an extra 2, maybe a 4 this year, and maybe something else next year.
But oh, yeah, more than that. Yeah,
probably more. But with that 5 or 6 pick, I would go after Quentin Nelson out of Notre Dame.
Sure.
Now we have our two guards. Now I'm assuming because you'll probably have 2 early second round picks with this trade.
Correct.
So what I would do is, I would then talk to Buffalo about Cordy Glenn and maybe seeing if you can do a trade with them with one of our 2 high second-round picks. That solidifies our left guard tackle spot.
Marcus, here's the thing. Real quick, I'm going to interrupt you for a second. I'm going to bring up Cordy Glenn here, who, by the way, was one of the best tackles in football for
a long time.
However, in the last 2 seasons,
he's been hurt.
He has missed 16 games due to injury.
Oh, wow.
He played in 11 games in 2016. He only played in 6 games last year. So he has a big salary. So if you want to trade for Cordy Glenn and take that chance, I'm cool with that. I'm not giving up a high second round pick for him. No way, no how.
Well, you just shine light on me with that one. And
but you could go find another guard if you wanted to.
Correct.
Yeah.
And what I'm figuring is with the other early second-round pick, the kid Billy Price out of Ohio State, I like him. He's a great, great center/guard. He will be our center.
If he's there.
Now, you still have Eric Flowers, who possibly could be moved over to right tackle. You have Willer. You have Biz Nwadi. Or you can get a second-tier veteran to play at right tackle. And, you know, depending on what we can do with that left tackle position, like I said, if it's not Glenn, then maybe we can speak to someone else who may have, you know, be willing to move. I mean, left tackles aren't something that you just give away, so I know that. But maybe you can, you know, talk to somebody and with a high second-round pick, maybe to move that second-round pick, and there you have our offensive line. So that's pretty much what I was kind of looking at, you know, but not taking into the Glenn thing into consideration, though.
No, it makes sense. No, it makes sense. And look, I think – Marcus, you hit it on the head. I think if the way you maneuver yourself around this offseason, I think it's realistic to find a couple of guards or at least one guard that's going to come in, improve that position, and improve the line overall.
Yeah.
I think that's really realistic. The tricky part is finding the tackle. Where do you find the tackle? Is it Glenn that you roll the dice on? Do you throw money at Nate Solder? But then you don't have money for Norwell. Do you try to trade with somebody else? Do you have to trade back into the first round if you like one of these offensive tackles, you know, Connor Williams, you know, Brown, or McGlinchey? Do you trade back into the first round to get one of those guys? It's how you find that tackle, which, by the way, was the same problem we had this time last offseason where there were only 2 good tackles in free agency. This year there's 1. So they're just really, really hard to find, but I think your plan is pretty sound.
Well, there's
okay,
one
and
that,
I just,
I'm sorry. Well, there's one good tackle, and maybe in, from our mind in free agency, that you know someone's going to go get.
Nate Solder.
But it does. It certainly doesn't mean that there's a list of some other guys that maybe the Giants think could be good.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
sure. Right.
Better than Well, maybe not better than the guys coming out in the draft.
But they could be an upgrade to what's on the roster.
There you go. Right. That's a good. Yes, exactly. Put it a better that, upgrade than what's on the roster now. Okay, without going and breaking the bank in free agency to bring them in.
Okay. Now I just have one more thing. I know you got a whole bunch of calls, but my question is: I know that a lot of people say it's taboo to pick a guard at 2, 3, 4 high, but if someone told you that Quentin Nelson, this is again a hypothetical, would be a 10-year All Pro, 10-year Hall of Famer. I mean, I'm a 10-year All-Pro, 10-year Pro Bowler, and a possible Hall of Famer that could come in and immediately help out nine right from the jump. Do you think that would be wise for picking him at number 2? I'll take you guys' answers off the air, and thank you for taking my call.
Thanks, Marcus.
Well, in my opinion, the number 2 pick has you are wanting that guy to be that type. You want him to be a perennial All-Pro, borderline Hall of Famer, and a 10-year guy.
If you're picking a guard at 2, he better be.
He better be the next coming. Yeah. So, but that is the prerequisite of a number 2 pick. That person has to be. That's why I always say about Saquon Barkley. I mean, is he going to have a 10-year career in your uniform and be a Pro Bowl guy for 5 of those 6 of those 10? That's a tough decision, right? To ask a running back to be at that level for 10 years.
And the question you have, too, does a guard positively impact your team enough, even at an all-pro level, to be worth the second overall pick?
Okay, so here's a good evaluation.
That's a fair question.
What about Joe Thomas? What does he do for that offensive line at Cleveland?
He's a left tackle.
But I'm saying, I know it's just in general, an offensive lineman mm-hmm. is a future Hall of Famer, a guy that's played 10 years, you know, been to 10 Pro Bowls. What has he done for that offensive line? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no, I know exactly what you're saying. Here, I'm going to do an exercise here.
I got to believe that number 2 pick, if you didn't need a quarterback for the future or you didn't need a, you know, this or that, that you picked that offensive lineman.
I think
but me, sure. The quarterback is your go, is just your guy. The quarterback is the guy you're going to go and pick at number 2.
Here we go, Jeff. All right. Here's the question. I'm going to go back to the 2014 NFL draft because I think this is the last best guard that was taken. Okay?
They had a
lot that
year, right?
The Cowboys selected Zach Martin with the 16th pick in the draft.
16th pick.
Right. And Zach Martin is going to be a 10-year all-pro at guard.
Well, he's
probably
his way,
the best guard in the league. Okay? Mm-hmm. He's who you would want Quentin Nelson to be when you pick him.
Right.
That's successful, okay? I'm going to go through some players here. Would you rather have Jadeveon Clowney or Zach Martin?
I probably would want to have Clowney.
Would you rather have Khalil Mack or Zach Martin?
Ah, I see where you're going.
Would
and
you
this
rather
is
have,
exactly what I'm talking
well,
about.
And no, that's why it's a great debate. Would you rather have Jake Matthews or Zach Martin?
And again,
Evans or Zach Martin? Anthony Barr? Or Zach Martin, Aaron Donald, Odell Beckham. So even though Zach Martin might be the best guard that's been drafted in the last 6 or 7 years, I just found 6 or 7 guys just in that draft class that you would rather have them because of position value, which is why at number 2 overall, a guard, honestly, I don't know. I change my mind every day. It's tough.
You're very rarely at number 2 to get a number 2. Than when you don't have problems on your football team, correct? You're only picking
correct.
At number 2 because you got a lot of problems.
Right.
So you got to start and build your team somehow. But in this situation, I just don't see how the Giants could do it. They've got to get a quarterback.
And here's the thing, and it goes the other way too. You might, you know, Zach Martin would be a very safe pick, but then other teams go for players at premium positions that don't work out because they want that left tackle. Oh, like Greg Robinson, who got picked 2nd overall that year. Or the quarterback, like Blake Bortles, who got picked 3rd overall that year. Or Sammy Watkins, who got picked 4th. Or Justin Gilbert, the corner, who got picked 8th. These are guys where you're like, oh boy, they picked these guys over Zach Martin. What, are you out of your mind? But they play premium positions. And that's the balance you have to kind of take here. How much do you value that position and then compare that to the talent that's there and around them at other spots? Antonio, he's in New York. He's up next. Hi, Antonio.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I just wanted to touch base.
Sure.
You know, I Mike Shula was just hired, and I just want to know why. Why did we get Mike Shula? The Panthers' offense hasn't been any good. I know he's not going to be play calling for us. Maybe he will sometimes. But it's just like, you know, why him? I mean, why can't we just get like a young-minded coach to just bring new stuff? I just feel like we're old in a lot of places. We're old in GM. We're old in the offense. And the defense is the only thing that I'm looking, you know, forward to right now.
Wait, hold on. You're not excited about Pat Shurmur putting in a brand-new offense? Come on.
No. Listen, I'm definitely excited about that. But then when he brings Mike Shula in, which, like, have you seen the Panthers play? They have all these weird formations, full house, and it's just so bad. There's no home runs over there, just like there weren't no home runs over here. Their personnel was terrible, but he has something to do with that also. I mean, he tells the head coach, "Yo, I need somebody over here," doesn't he? Like, I don't know. I can't explain it.
Look, the Panthers have run the ball pretty successfully over the last few years. They commit to the run. I think that's something you like. Now, what a lot of people don't mention in that conversation is that Cam Newton's rushing also kind of skews those numbers better than they probably actually are. But I'll go back. Mike Shula, if you remember, was the offensive coordinator, rather, for the Panthers
the year they
went to the Super Bowl. And they had the 12th ranked offense in the league that year. They averaged 367 yards per game. I believe, and I'll check it right now, I'll tell you how many big plays they had that year. But I honestly have not looked it up. I'm looking it up right now as we speak.
That year. That's our problem.
Yeah, no problem. I'm looking it up for you right now. That year, Carolina, and I believe they threw down the field a fair amount that year. They were right in the middle of the league. They had 53 passes of 20 yards or more. That put them at 14th in the league, actually tied with the Giants that year. So they don't throw the
ball. That's not great.
But remember, but the Panthers, who was their speed at wide receiver that year?
Yeah, but we also got to remember.
They got Benjamin probably.
Yeah, no one with a lot of speed. I think Ginn might have stolen it on the team that year.
But you have to understand something. Mike Shula is you're comparing what Mike Shula did at the Panthers and thinking that he's going to have any kind of impact on the offense here now, which is completely wrong. He's basically the quarterback coach, okay, who has a good history with that, and he's going to help out with the game plans and things like that. Pat Shurmur is your offensive coordinator, hand down.
Yeah, Shula's doing the legwork for Shurmur's overall
scheme. You can't say to yourself, how they hire this guy, look what his offense was. They didn't hire him for his offense. They hired him for his 30 years in the league to be able to help a coach who's going to put the offense his offense together and help him look at some things here and there.
And can pick up the slack for him since he's doing basically two jobs, Shurmur, as the play caller and the head coach.
Yeah.
I think I read somewhere where Shurmur said that he might give him some offensive play calling. I'm not sure if that was a credible source.
No, Antonio, he said that he says he's somebody that if he has to for a series or two pass off the play calling, he could. But Shurmur will be calling the plays.
Yeah, that's not terrible.
No.
No, it's
fine. Now, let me just one more thing I want to talk about the draft, and then I'll let you guys go. It's exciting and frustrating at the same time hearing you guys because it's so early. We haven't even hit free agency, and it's just
tell us about
like
it.
A candy store. It's like a candy store. It's
like,
we're
not
Jeff,
even
Jeff,
open yet.
Jeff was like, "I want this guy. I want this guy," and it's so funny because I'm like, "Yeah, Jeff, I want him too," but. You know, we just have to be patient and hope free agency goes for us. My thing is, you know, John, you just said it perfectly. We can't get we can't draft a lineman that's not, you know, especially it's not an offensive tackle, and you can't get a guard that high. It's impossible. I mean, it's just not a good move. Just because even if this guy is, you know, the guy from Notre Dame, even if he's the elite, the best guard there, which we don't know, it's still going to be too high because you know you probably get hit with a second-round guard or you probably get hit with a third-round guard, and it's not impossible. You know, we just got to make sure that on our middle and our late picks, we make sure we hit as opposed to years in the past we haven't hit. And in my opinion, honestly, I want to trade down, and this is kind of like the – you know, I'm thinking very different as everybody else. I actually want to draft a safety from Alabama. Why? Because if we bring him in, then we can make Landon Collins a full-time linebacker, weak-side linebacker. And that's what I want to see, man.
All right, Antonio, thanks for the call, man. I get, you know, you like Landon Collins, does around the ball and everything.
They can still be around the
ball. Don't take him out of the safety spot.
No way. No, that is not going to happen, period. I mean, he's an all-pro at the safety position. You don't want him to come down and play a different position.
Don't mess around with that.
No. I will tell you this, that James Betcher, the new defensive coordinator, is going to like what he has in Landon Collins, a guy that can be a box safety a little bit more than normal.
He would love Minkah Fitzpatrick, too.
Oh,
as a guy that could play safety and corner, and he could move him around just like he did Tyrann Mathieu. Ooh, he'd love him.
I love him.
Just saying,
but they just need so much help on that offense. Although, you know, I don't know the way that Dave Gettleman is going to draft. You know, the old school from the Giants has always been best available player. But,
that's what they always said. It wasn't always that.
I don't know. You know, so it's all speculation at this point that what goes on. But, you know, you do know that the Giants are going to be okay with whoever they pick in the first two rounds. And hopefully from what we've been talking about, John, they may be getting a couple extra picks if they decide to trade that.
Yeah.
I mean, there could be four picks within the first two rounds.
And how about having a successful third-round pick for the first time in about
a long time.
9 years.
Yeah, maybe this is the year.
James in Virginia, he's up next. Hi, James.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Great, James. What's up?
Hey, so this is what I was thinking about. I see everybody is thinking Cleveland is going to take this, a quarterback, but I think Cleveland is going to take Barkley, and then the reason why I think that because then they could get their running back, and if the Giants decide to take one or the other, take Darnold or Josh, they can pick the other.
Yeah, but James, you're assuming that Cleveland likes those guys equally, and they don't have somebody that they think is head and shoulders above the other guys.
Yeah, that's true. Well, because I'm thinking, you know, they'll get their. The quarterback that, you know, they'll probably get a quarterback that they want out of the two, if like you said, if they have them drafted that high. And I think then we would probably do like with T-Dot, say drop back a little bit and hopefully can get one of those offensive linemen. And then that second pick, I really hope that UTEP guy is there. I really do.
Yeah, well, James, here's the thing. I want you for a second to put your feet in the shoes of a member of the Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns have not had a good quarterback since Bernie Kosar in 1991. That is almost 30 years. In fact, I think it might have been before 91. That is nearly 30 years ago.
Right.
If I'm running the Browns and I like one quarterback more than the other guys, and look, they're going to like one guy more than the other guys. No one's an equal tie in this world. It doesn't work that way in evaluation, okay? So I have such need for a quarterback, and I'm the Cleveland Browns. I am not going to simply say, all right, I'm picking Barkley here, and then we'll just get whatever quarterback's left. No. I got two picks in the top four. It's more important for me to get the quarterback I want to get Saquon Barkley and then get whatever quarterback's left. What happens if two go off the board and the Colts trade down and a quarterback goes off the board at 2 and 3? Then they're sitting at 4, and they're going to be stuck with a guy they might not even like at all. So I'm telling you, unless they sign Kirk Cousins, which they might, I would be shocked, blown away, and I've said this to Lance. Lance is on board with you, by the way. He thinks the Browns could do this. I disagree with him. I would be blown away if the Browns do not pick their quarterback of choice at that first pick, and I think they'd be nuts to take the chance and wait till 4.
Well, if they, they could sign Kirk Cousins, and then they have 1 and a 4 pick,
and two picks at the top of the second,
and they
round
would
too.
Be able to get a king's ransom for all those picks.
That's a different story.
That would just be what Cleveland always does. They just stockpile all these picks, and they are horrible forever. But they are going to have Kirk Cousins if that was the case. So who knows?
I wonder how they do that. I mean, wow.
Well, remember, Kirk Cousins has to want to go to Cleveland, and something tells me he might have a better option out there than the Browns.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm just, you know, whatever they do, but I just hope whoever we get at that number two, if we pick at number two, I don't know. I was just thinking that if they took one of those quarterbacks and then those guys have to sit for a year or two, because I really think if we can get a decent offensive line, I think Eli's going to do good. I just think if he had a decent enough offensive line and get all of his weapons back, I think he still got a lot of game left in him.
No, I hear you, James. Remember, though, you aren't just drafting for the next 2 years either, but I agree. If you put a better line in front of Eli, he will have better production than what he had last season.
You
I don't think anyone would doubt
yeah.
that.
Yeah. You hope.
All right.
Thanks, bud. Appreciate it, man.
I mean, that's
Scott
the,
in New Mexico.
That's what the Giants are
next.
Banking on. That's yeah. what that Dave Gettleman is banking on.
Absolutely. Scott, what's up?
Hi, guys.
How you doing?
Good. First comment, I kind of disagree with the previous caller. I think that the selection of Mike Shula was a good one, and not only that, I think that all the hirings, the recent hirings, I think McGahee had special teams and some of the other guys that were picked for the Giant staff were excellent ones. I've been a Giant fan for 50 years, and I was really impressed with the group that they hired.
Hey, Scott, a ton of experience. That's the one thing I think that's kind of common throughout the group. Especially the new hires that got brought in from the outside, all these guys have a lot of experience.
Right, yeah. And reading their bios, they were very impressive in what they've accomplished already, so I think that's moving in the right direction. One thing I wanted to ask you, a couple of comments on free agency and then on the draft.
Sure.
There were two players, James Betcher I know was running a 3-4 defense, but there were two players that I wanted to get your opinion on whether they would fit the profile of what he would want to do, and whether I'm not sure whether they'll be re-signed by their teams, but one of them is LaMarcus Joyner, a safety for the Rams. I wanted to get your opinion on him, and also an outside linebacker by the name of Tamik Whitehead, who I looked at game films from the Lions. And would either of those players work into a Giant or a James Betcher type of defense?
I think Joyner would certainly. He's somebody that started his career corner. Struggled a little bit, to be quite honest with you, and then he moved to safety with Wade Phillips last year. It was great. And we've talked about it. Betcher likes those guys, Jeff, that can kind of swap between corner and safety. So I think Joyner would be a really good fit.
I don't know about the other guy from Detroit.
You know what? I haven't watched tape of him, but he's been in the league for a while. I'm trying to see how old he is right now. I think he's been in the league a bit. He's only 27. He's
right.
233 pounds. Now, isn't he more of a 4-3 outside linebacker than a 3-4 guy?
He's an outside linebacker, but they said he's a tackling machine and can cover in coverage. So I thought he would be a perfect profile for the, you know, whatever the Giants want to do if they do switch to a 3-4.
Well, you know what? Let me see how Pro Football Focus has him rated here.
I mean, they are switching to a 3-4.
Yeah,
so.
I have not looked a lot at Whitehead in terms of where he was ranked. But let me take a look at their linebacker rankings here.
But I will tell you this. I think you're in the right direction because this Giants defense, it needs some speed at linebacker position. So I think the Giants
right.
have to start looking at some linebackers where they're going to be drafting some guys or some free agent because that was a depleted unit last year. And if they are going to go to a 3-4, you got to have some guys that can run and cover in that position.
Tahir Whitehead was ranked as the 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, ninth best outside linebacker last year by Pro Football Focus. They had him much better as a run defender than as a coverage guy. So I would imagine as a 4-3 outside linebacker, you would probably put him into one of the middle, into one of the inside spots in the 3-4, and that's where you would play him. At 27, you like that. But it looks like he's more of a run stuffer than he would be a coverage guy, at least according to the metrics that Pro Football Focus has.
He's going to be a two-down guy.
Appreciate it.
One more question, if
sure.
I can.
Absolutely.
There are four players that I sort of earmarked for the Giants that can't miss, and I'll take this question off the air.
Yep.
Obviously, Saquon Barkley, Quentin Nelson, also Tremaine Edmonds, and Minkah Fitzpatrick. Those are can't-miss, I think, in my opinion.
Thank
of
you, Scott.
Four, saying Saquon Barkley is off the board, of the three, in either of your opinions, which of those three, if the Giants can't move down and get multiple picks, would you take on your team? And I'll take the question off the air.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate the call. It's a good question. If you take Barkley out of the mix and you're looking at –
and those other ones are available.
Fitzpatrick. He said Fitzpatrick, Edmonds, and Nelson. Was that the third guy on his list?
Yep.
I would have a tough time deciding between Fitzpatrick and Nelson. I think Edmonds – and first of all, let me say this. I don't think anybody is a can't-miss prospect. Everybody can miss. No one's 100%. That's number one.
I got to go with Nelson.
I think Edmonds is probably someone that has a lot of physical ability, but I still think there's some things that a linebacker needs to improve in fundamentally. I think probably on most boards, Fitzpatrick would be ahead of Quentin Nelson because of his position flex and the position that he plays. People value cover corners more than do offensive guards. But let's say the Giants trade down to 5 or 6 and they have a choice between Nelson and Fitzpatrick. Again, assuming you don't have anybody added at those positions before then in free agency, I'm with Jeff. I think you have to go Nelson.
Yeah, but if you added at those positions before, okay, you don't need that guard, then I probably would go with the linebacker.
You go with Edmonds over Fitzpatrick, huh?
I think they need it. I think this team needs it.
I just don't know if he's good enough to go 5.
Well,
man,
we're going to have to find out. I mean, look what we were talking about Miles Jack a few years ago. I mean, God. That's
high for Tremaine Edmonds, man.
Well, you know what? I think the Giants haven't drafted high at the linebacker position since God made dirt. I mean, it's been that long.
God made dirt.
I mean, let's take a chance. Let's get a guy that can run and can play. I mean, yeah, we'll see.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Hallelujah.
Losing his mind.
The illness.
He wasn't right.
Clear that throat, Charlie.
Jokes.
Yeah, I'm happy.
You're a madman.
And here we go.
Hi, Chuckles.
Hey, guys. Hey, Jeff.
What?
Hey, John.
What do you want, Charlie?
What's up, Charlie? How are you?
Hey, is it going to be fool's gold or not?
About
fool's
what? About Beatty's Super Bowl ring? No, it'll be real gold.
Hey, he could be end up on the Giants. Who knows what's going to happen? But anyway, I think Nick Foles is a good quarterback. I think he's proven it. He had a Pro Bowl year. He went to the Rams. The Rams were horrible. Fisher was a horrible coach. Look what he did to Goff. I mean, and then, you know, he got demoralized. You know, he decided, like, he didn't want to play anymore because of Fisher. So, anyway, I think this guy can, you know, take a team, and he could go to the Super Bowl again. He's just got to be in the right system for him. And I think whoever gets him is going to have a really good quarterback on their hands. But I don't know. Philly will probably keep him anyway. I don't know.
Charlie, remember, Philly already dumped him once.
He's not going anywhere.
Yeah. Well, I hope he doesn't. But he wants to get paid, too. But and I think if I'm just talking about, you guys are talking about drafting people, I think, you know, Nelson, if he is the best player, I don't care if you take him at 10. Always better to go at 10 than 2. Who cares? The guy is going to be a stud for many, many, many years. Maybe a Hall of Famer, definitely a Pro Bowler, definitely a guard that's going to, you know, cause any injuries, but not counting that, this dude is going to be productive for a long, long, long time. So to me, I don't care if you take him at 2 or you take him at 10. I mean, I want to move down. That's what I want to do. And there's been a lot of talk of moving down to Buffalo, taking their 2 first-round picks, them throwing in Cody Glenn, another second-round pick, and a possibly second-round pick the next year.
Wow.
I mean, if they're going to give us a bundle of U-Haul like that, I would say take that.
Two first rounds, 2 second rounds, and did you say a second round next year and Glenn?
Yeah, and Glenn. Only 1 second round this year, but 1 second round next year and Glenn.
Remember, those 2 first-round picks are in the 20s.
It's
a lot different than picking 7 or 8.
Yeah, but you're going to get good offensive linemen there. It depends on, you know, it all depends on free agency, as we all know. I mean, if they end up with the guy from Carolina and they end up with somebody else, you know, they end up getting Soldier or something like that, then, you know, you only need 1 offensive lineman then, 1, you know, a good guard. So you don't need all that. But if you get all those picks, then you can get a linebacker, you can get another old lineman, you can get a running back. I mean, you get a lot of really good players in the top, you know, whatever, top 35, you know.
No, I hear I would, know, just be very wary, Charlie, of trading out of a position where you can get a top 4 or 3 player in this draft. You better be sure about your evaluations in the 20 to 30 range. Because remember, once you get to 20 to 30, a lot of the times the guys left, you don't even have first-round grades on those guys. A lot of times there's only 15 to 20 first-round grades in a draft. So that the quality of player from number 2 to number 20 is a significant drop-off.
I also, Charlie, do not think that the Giants could afford to do something like that from a from a PR stand. The people, the fans would be going crazy. They really would, right? I mean, so honestly, I mean, what are we doing? We're 3-13, and we're trading out of the draft, and we're losing some of the quarterbacks, and all the talk that we have about these four guys or five guys that are coming out this year. I don't know. I think it would be a very, very bad thing to do, in my opinion. I mean, I would trade down maybe to get to you, but you cannot trade out of the top 10. John and I agree wholeheartedly about this. You cannot trade out of the top 10 if you're going to trade down. There's no way. You have to stay in the top 10.
I just don't think we need a quarterback. You know, I would bring in Teddy
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Then just trade down from it, but you can't get out of the top 10. You just can't.
Well, I don't know. It depends on what we could get for all that. If we got a U-Haul worth of picks,
I know, but like John said, you start getting into the 20 picks. These guys are like, you know, they're borderline second-round draft picks at that point in time. You know, I mean, I don't know. I just don't know.
Well, the thing is, like, running backs, they're deep. Running backs are deep. Some of the old linemen, it's a pretty deep draft. So I think you get some depth in certain areas. So I think in 21, 23, or 21, 22, you would still have some really good players there. So
no, you would.
I don't know, you know. But that's me. I mean, and just go from there.
Charlie,
do you like
the idea of the Giants drafting a running back in the maybe in the second round, one of these guys, if they're still there? I think maybe one or two of these guys maybe absolutely.
I want a guy who can get the 1 yard, the fourth and one, the third and two, the third and one. I want a guy who's going to be like a Brandon Jacobs. That's the kind of guy we need, because we already got Gallman and we already got Perkins, who are the kind of stat back receiving type guys. We need a guy who can really get the 1 or 2 yards.
Yes. Yeah, so you want a Darius Geis or a Nick Chubb, one of those types.
Yeah, exactly. And since we got Shuler and all that.
Bo Scarborough, another guy at Alabama.
I've been hearing about is that, you know, they love to run the ball. You know, Mike Shula loves to run the ball. So it sounds like, Pat and him are on the same page. It sounds like we're going to be running the ball a lot more, two tight end sets. So I think you need a guy like that. So I'm hoping that's the kind of guy we get that will make a big difference, I think, if we get a guy like that who can get that 1 yard or, 2 yards when we need it. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, I'm just so glad that Jerry Reese is not picking him this year. I mean, I would be totally distraught. So I'm not so distraught this year, because at least Getz knows that he needs an offensive line. So, I can't wait to see what he does. So I'm pretty excited about it.
Wait to see what he doesn't. That's more
that's true, too. Free agency is going to tell me a lot.
Yeah, I agree. I think we're going to find out a lot about where the direction of this team is going after free agency is over, Charlie.
Have a great 3-day weekend. Len in Columbia, Maryland. Hi, Len.
Len.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Here we go again. I get to follow Charlie. When am I going to get in front of Charlie, John?
Oh, relax. At least you get on.
Len, whoever calls in first gets on first, pal.
I'm just kidding. It's always good to hear Charlie give his take on things. Hey, listen, a little shout-out. We got a kicker right there with you and Jeff. And a little shout-out to former Giant who passed away earlier in the week.
Yeah.
Place kicker Ben Agajanian, the first kicker that I saw with the Giants. And the interesting thing about Agajanian in those middle 50s, he was really the first specialist in the league. You know, the rosters were 33, 36 in that time period. And, you couldn't afford to have a punter or just a place kicker.
Right.
Even the great Lou Groza, who kicked for the Browns and is thought to be one of the great place kickers in, pro history, played offensive tackle, and he was a darn good one. But the Giants thought enough of Agajanian to keep him on the roster. And boy, he was something. He really did do his job.
So really, he was the first Giants kicker. He was probably the first real Giants kicker, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
That's awesome.
As I remember, anyway, Jeff.
Yeah.
Particularly on the place kicking side, and
a toe puncher.
Even into the '60s. I mean, one of the guys who went into the Hall of Fame this year, Kramer. From Green Bay, just a tremendous offensive lineman, and really deserved to be the Hall of Fame. He played offensive guard, but he was a place kicker in the early 60s. He and Paul Hornung shared the kicking for the Packers. But, again, we're back in the 50s with Agajanian, and the Giants thought enough of the guy, and rightly so, to keep him as a specialist. And even Pat Summerall, when he first came into the league before he got to the Giants, he was a kicker for the Chicago Cardinals, but he played defensive end.
Len, I got to be honest with you. This is the most 1950s kicking I ever thought we'd ever talk about on Big Blue
Kickoff.
Well,
there you go.
I'm
well,
very
hey, listen,
impressed.
John, I'm telling you, I'm the guy was great. And, you know, you've got to honor those old Giants.
Absolutely.
Who, 56 championship. 56
Thank
championship.
You.
Agajanian was there. Hey, listen, a comment on the coaches. I want to say something about Shuler. And I think, you know, Shermer's comment that Michael Eisen quoted on the, you know, on the website today. Nice article by Michael, by the way, talking about all the new coaches. You know, Shermer was quoted as saying, I wouldn't be afraid to let Shuler call the plays.
Right.
I mean, this is a guy. I mean, he's been around 30 years. If we needed him to call plays, he could call plays. He'd
sure.
be a good offensive coordinator.
Yeah, they may as not be his
he,
plays,
as long
but he
as
could
the
call
two guys have worked out an understanding of their roles, that's really all that counts.
Well, it sounds like they did because that's why they hired him.
Hey, listen, you know, this 3-4 defense, we switched one coach, a carryover from last year. This is kind of an obscure point, but I wonder if we're heading in a direction here. Our assistant defensive line coach last year was hired as the assistant linebackers coach for this year. So we went from two defensive line coaches and one linebacker coach to one defensive line coach and two linebacker
well,
coaches.
Well, Len, and
does that indicate a 3-4?
I was about to say, just do the math. You go from three defensive linemen to four, and you go from three linebackers to four. Honestly, I don't know that if that's the case, and that's why they did it that way. But
yeah, probably.
It's just numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, something on Mayock's list and you know, something to remember.
Sure.
He listed 45 or 50 players there. That's if they all went, and they're not going to go in the first 50 picks.
Right.
Those aren't going to be the first 50 picks. But
correct.
Just hypothetically, if they were the first 50 picks, there's a heck of a lot of good football players left.
Oh, yeah,
right.
I mean, holy cow, there's 200 picks left. There's a lot of good players who can help us when we get to that, you know, third round down.
Yeah, and by the way, one of those 50 might still be there when the Giants pick at 66.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, and we might hope for that. But
yeah.
You know what, that number two pick, let's not forget, and Jeff, you just alluded to it again. We're going to get a great player there.
I mean,
sometimes I think fans are sorry that we got a number two and didn't have the number seven, because then we could pick Quentin Nelson and we wouldn't have to worry about it. We got the number two pick in the draft, and we worked hard to get it, didn't we, John?
Oh. A lot of pain and suffering.
We worked hard to get it. We don't want to go there again.
No.
We don't want to be 3-13 again. That's for sure. All right, hey, that's all I got.
Thanks,
for you
Len.
Today.
Appreciate it.
You guys have a great
Bye,
weekend.
Len.
Thanks
yeah,
for taking my call. And hey, John, find some good guys when you get to the combine. Find some round 3, 4, and 5 guys for us when you get back.
I will do my best
to talk
for you,
about.
Thank you, bud.
That's
Appreciate
why they pay
it.
John the big bucks to find those guys, right? That's it, John. You're the guy. Go after and get them.
Is someone else writing me checks that I'm not aware of?
You're not getting them? Yeah.
By the way, there is no Big Blue Kickoff on Monday, folks. Just FYI, it's President's Day.
Yep.
So, no BBK on Monday. We'll be back on Tuesday. But before we say goodbye,
let's do it.
It's time for everyone's
favorite
game.
All right, bring that
game.
Out. I like this.
Did he play with Jeff Fiegel?
I don't have a great memory.
22 NFL seasons.
Wow.
Hundreds of players.
Fiegel's with the Eagles.
Let's see who Jeff remembers.
You can make a mockery of my memory.
Here's your host.
That was just so...
John Schmelk.
Fiegel started the season at 4-1, has dropped to 4-4, 0-3 last week in a disastrous showing. Going 0-4.
Why you have to say disastrous?
Three.
It was so big. Whatever.
Because
Let's
it
go.
Was disastrous.
It wasn't disastrous. It was a damn game.
0-3. That's pretty bad, Jeff. Okay? You ready? All right, here we go.
Of course I'm ready.
Did you play with Jonathan Williams? Did you play with Jonathan Williams?
I know I played with a James Williams. I don't think I ever played with a Jonathan Williams. No, I didn't.
You win.
There we go.
You did not play.
Nope. Don't have no idea who that guy is. Who is he?
He is the current running back on the Buffalo Bills.
Definitely didn't play with
them. Did you play with – who do I like here? Here we go. Did you play with Garth Jacks?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Where did you play with Garth Jacks?
Linebacker, Arizona. I want to believe it might be 1993 or 4, somewhere around there. I am correct. Yes, you are.
1994, linebacker, Arizona Cardinals. Good job, Jeff Fields.
Well, come on, Garth Jacks. How do you not? That's kind of a name you would always remember.
Yeah, it's a fair point. So. I should have done better with that one. Did you play with Maurice Kelly?
Mo Kelly. See, I got you. This 3-0, folks, on this one. Yes, Mo Kelly in Seattle. There it is. So it wasn't a disastrous Friday like last week.
It was a disaster last week, but you recovered. And you went
I recovered
this
good,
week.
Mo Kelly. Another good dude. Another good guy. Good special teams guy for me.
What position did Mo Kelly
Mo
play?
Was a linebacker, I believe.
Let's see. We'll look
yep.
it up.
Yep.
No, defensive back, but that's okay.
Defensive back.
You had the team right. So
Seattle, Mo Kelly. He's actually there.
He actually played 2 years in his career. I thought I would have a good chance at getting you on Mo Kelly.
Good guy. He's also the player like David Tyree.
Player development guy.
Yeah, of Seattle.
Oh,
so, good guy.
See, if I would have known that, I would have picked him.
There we go. So that's going to be 7-4 after 3 weeks. I love it. Good stuff. Thank you, John. Thank you for making my Friday. Thank you all for making our Friday. Right, John? Thank you.
See you on Tuesday. Everyone have a great weekend.
Yes.
Enjoy it.
You do not make a mockery of my memory this weekend. No, you won't.
See you then.